This episode of Continuing Mission is brought to you by Audible.com, offering you more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and to help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/TrekFM. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi there, everybody. This is Vic Mignogna, Captain Kirk from Star Trek Continues, and you're listening to Trek FM.
In this episode of Continuing Mission, I have the pleasure of meeting up again with Ray Tessie, whom I first talked with on Continuing Mission 35. Back then, Ray was busy fundraising for a Star Trek fan film entitled Starship Republic. That project is still in the works, but because of his love for Star Trek, Ray decided earlier this year to take a massive leap of faith and purchase his very own film studio. Not just any old studio, but one that left fans and the Star Trek community gasping with astonishment and excitement. Ray is now the proud owner of Stage 9 Studios, or as we formerly knew it, Star Trek Continue Studios. So, let's get into the turbo lift and have a chat with Ray about this exciting new adventure. Welcome back to Continuing Mission, Ray Tessie. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Tony. It's good to see you. It's been a long time since we've had a chat and had a chance to visit.
Yeah, I've grown a little bit of hair on my face, and I've lost a little bit at the back of my head for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's I'm eating the wrong kind of food.
No, it's okay. We're all got something wrong with us.
I need to eat what you eat, which is, I believe, alligator sandwiches. I hear they taste like chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. So how are you doing anyway? That's good to see you.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, lots happened since we've spoken, but I'd have to say all in all for the better, you know?
Okay, well, just to recap, because the last time we spoke, you had launched an Indiegogo campaign to get a fan movie made, which was called Starship Republic, and you had also released a vignette called Serpent of Yesterday to tease people into what the possibilities of this movie could be. So let's get up to speed on what happened with that.
Okay.
And then we got a big surprise for everyone to hear about.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
So Starship Republic, we did the crowdfunding campaign. And unfortunately, while we had lots and lots of visitors to the campaign, we really didn't get a whole lot of contributors to the campaign, which was at the time a little bit disheartening. But if you think back on when that happened, we were the very first fan film to try to do a crowdfunding campaign after the new guidelines came out from CBS. And I'm not saying that that is the, you know, the ultimate cause of it not working well, if you will. But I'm sure that had something to do with it. I think people had a little bit of resistance to try to put their money to something that, you know, they didn't know really what was why. But we had released the vignette, and the vignette has yet still been popular, which to me is kind of surprising. I think on YouTube, the vignette has about 35,000 views, which, you know, having not really advertised it over the last year, so to speak, to me, that's pretty amazing. What we did was we started to retool the story. We thought maybe we had some opinion about why maybe it didn't really get the traction that we were looking for. And so we've retooled it. And I think we have a good working script. We take a lot of other time frames and put in some new characters and even a few surprises here and there. And we're actually getting ready to go back to the studio at some point and refilm.
Well, I watched the vignette again, obviously, for talking with you to refresh my mind. And oh, it's not that old in terms of when it was made and when it went out. But to say that it still looks fresh, it's kind of, that's kind of a weird statement, but it does look really fresh. And the more you watch it, the more you tune in to the characters, and you've got that blue kind of that alien lady with the thing on her head, and everything looks really cool. So, I think it sets the tone for where you're going to go in the future should Starship Republic come up again. And that kind of leads me into the next part, the main part of our interview, because there's now a possibility that you've got something that can make that happen. So tell us, how shall I phrase this? Okay, I'm just going to jump right in. You went and bought the Star Trek Continues studios right from under the nose of Vic Mignogna. Am I right?
Well, I think you give me too much credit. Right? So it was a mutual agreement between Vic and I, and really what I purchased were the sets. It's in a nice size, we can call it a warehouse. I did speak with Vic, and we did agree on the purchase of the sets. Vic's Star Trek Continues had finished in May of 2017. I had filmed Starship Republic at Starbase Studios, which at the time was in Oklahoma City, which had since moved to Arkansas. Sometime in July or August, those guys had a falling out. It may have even been sooner than that. And so the studio was in limbo. Starbase Studios was in limbo. And a number of us, Vance Major, myself, a number of people, had tried to get involved in bringing them back together, not to get into it, but not to get into the studio as a partner, but to just try to get them to put this all aside and come back and open it up again. And in the conversations I'd had, it looked like that was going to happen. And I came up with an idea, because that's what I do. And I thought, well, Vic is done with Star Trek Continues. He has those sets. I wonder what he's doing with those sets. And I wonder if we could get some of those extra sets to be part of Starbase Studios. Because they had a bridge. They had a transporter room. A little bit of a briefing room, a little hallway or a little corridor set, but not much else. And so I had known Vic for probably several years, but just, you know, to write him or say hi or see him at conventions. So I sent him an email and I said, "Hey, Vic, what are you doing with the sets these days?" And to my surprise, he wrote me back and he said, "What do you have in mind?" And the businessman in me knew that if somebody says something like that, you don't go back with an idea. You go back with two or three ideas. So I sent them several ideas. And apparently one of those struck a chord, which is something he was looking to do. And he was, wow. Other people were fishing for those sets as well, I found out afterwards.
Wow.
I had an idea, at least, that he was looking to execute. And we started emailing back and forth, and then we started talking. And in November, he invited me to come up and see the studio, and I had no words for that when I walked in the doors. By the time I left, we had reached an agreement. And we executed that agreement in late December, really early January, I guess. And so... I took over the sets.
Wow, that's an incredible story. Because these sets are on a par with the other Star Trek sets up in New York.
right,
in upstate New York, that is now a museum piece. But the amount of detail that's gone into these sets that you've acquired is extraordinary.
Well, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from James Cawley and his tour, because I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. I mean, you know, can't take anything away from that. But this is a studio, and these sets are beautiful, and there's no question about it. And Vic and I, really, when we started talking about sort of the use of the studio or the use of the sets, was that we just wanted to make this available for fans to see, because, you know, it's here. It's in a very accessible location. And why not just allow fans to come in and walk through if they like, or make a fan film if they like? And really, there aren't any real other places. You know, Starbase Studios is no longer. So there aren't really many places that fans could go to actually use sets like that. Whether or not they want to make a fan film or a birthday video or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But that was the idea, was that we wanted to open it up to fans.
Okay. And so you took the sets, transported them? They're still where they were?
Yeah, that was one of my suggestions. I said we could move them, we can break them up, and we could take some of them and put them in Oklahoma or Arkansas, or we could just leave them where they are. And Vic wanted to leave them where they were. So they're in Kingsland, Georgia, which for me in Boca Raton, Florida, might sound like a long trip, but it's about a four-hour car ride, so it's not terrible. It's only like 25 minutes from Jacksonville Airport, so that's not terrible. It's in a very nice town, and it's in a growing town. We decided to, I guess I came up with the idea, but that's what he was looking to do. So we've just left them in the building that he filmed in.
Yeah, because you would have all the infrastructure there. Everything's wired up. You just flick a switch and all the lights come on and you're ready to go.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. It was set to film, so why not leave it that way?
So out of the three ideas that you pitched, which was the winning idea?
Well, the winning idea was, let's just leave it where it is.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you have intentions to use the studio. I know this is like an obvious question. You have intention to use making further fan movies. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It took a while, and I'll say that I really respect CBS because it is their property, Star Trek. And so I wrote them. It took several months to get some sort of a reply, and I'm not going to tell you I wrote just once. I wrote multiple times. Part of it was, and I knew I wasn't going to get it, and that's okay, but if you don't ask, you don't get, right? But I was asking to see if I could get a tour license as well. James and the museum, if you will, have a license, a specific license to do that. So I wasn't getting one, and I knew I wasn't going to get one. But essentially what I was told was, if I was going to open up the studio, then it had to be non-commercial, it had to be non-for-profit, and if someone was going to film a fan film, then it had to follow the guidelines. And you know what? I'm going to take that very seriously, and so there'll be some of my own guidelines or rules, and one will be that if you want to film, you've got to send completed script, and that script has to conform to the guidelines. And if they can't do that, you know, listen, I don't like turning anybody away, it's got to conform to that, or else it's a no-go.
Over the last couple of months, then, you've been fine-tuning the agreement with Vic, the sale of the studios or the transfer of ownership to yourself.
Well, actually, we did that in December and January. So that was a complete done deal. But over the last several weeks or months, actually, we've been cleaning the studio, because if you think about it, there was 5 years worth of, I'll just call it stuff, that had been collected in the corners. So we needed to clean it out a bit. We wanted to give it a little bit of a fresh look because, you know, the Enterprise isn't mine. I could say a lot of things, but the Enterprise isn't mine.
Well, you know, you've just struck something there with me, and I never realized it before, but maybe the world didn't know this, but Captain Kirk is an untidy person, and he just leaves stuff lying around.
No,
who knew this?
Actually, I'll say it's Captain Kirk's crew.
All right.
Who might be untidy. If you ever see Vic walk through the studio, he'll pick up a grain of salt on a carpet just to make sure that it looks right.
Yeah.
So, no, Captain Kirk is very neat.
Oh, that's good to know. That sets my mind at rest. But the other people, no, that's a whole other story.
Well, if you think about it, you know, they would come in for just maybe a couple of weeks, twice a year maybe, to film. So when they were done, they were out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anything they needed for, you know, maybe that week's or that shoot, you know, and it could be just ironing boards and vacuum cleaners and, you know, all kinds of things, just loose wood. But still, you know, it needed to be tidy, and there were things that nobody was ever going to use again or could be put in a corner. Mm. And that's what we spent several months doing.
The studios are now ready again for someone to come in and start acting on the sets.
Correct.
Is there anything in the pipeline for that?
There are a couple of things in the pipeline, although we haven't really. This is one of the few places, Tony, that we're making an announcement that that's happening. And that's because I think we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's, and we believe we can move forward. So actually, I'm not sure when this will air, but either just after this interview or just before this interview, one or the other, there's a short vignette that's going to be filmed at the studio from the folks that did Dreadnought Dominion. And they're excited about coming back to the studio because they hadn't been there in a very long time. I'm excited to just have them in there. And I've had just some general inquiries, and I've just kind of asked people to stand by. But I do have some real leads. And so I think we're all looking forward to be able to sort of open it up for that purpose, one of a couple of purposes, but that being one of them.
Oh, well, it's just great to see those sets going back into action again. You're now in the process of getting the word out to the Star Trek community that the studios are open for business. How are you going about that, other than just talking to me and one or two other people?
Well, I'm going to run several news releases, I guess, or press releases. But coming up from it's May 24th to the 27th, we're actually, the studio, I guess myself included, are going to appear at a local convention here in Florida, in Orlando, called MegaCon. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring in parts of the bridge set, the chair, the helm, the island, and we've created a backdrop. And we're going to offer free photo ops, which actually is something we should probably talk about as we go forward, is to, you know, sort of costs associated with the fan films. But we want to get the word out. So we're going to have raffles. We're going to have photo ops. We're going to try to really do it up in a big way.
Well, I hope it all stirs up a huge excitement and a resurgence in people's, you know, enthusiasm for making fan movies. And to have a studio like that at their disposal, it's unheard of in a way, isn't it, really?
It is, and I appreciate you saying that. The one thing I've discovered is that fan films are very Star Trek fans are very passionate. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't. Lots happened in the last year and a half, that has really split the community. And, you know, my goal is I just want to, you know, open this up. I want fans to hopefully, you know, rally and say, you know, let's go see it, or, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to say good job because, again, that's a little self-serving. But, you know, I'd like fans to know that it's out there and, you know, it's at their disposal if they want to just either come and see it or come and play in it or come and work in it.
You're not doing this by yourself. You must have a team around you or people who are assisting you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was actually very heartening, I guess, if that's the right word, right? Positive. That the folks who originally did the construction and some of the behind the scenes crew people, not only for Continues, but prior to Continues, there was a very small amount of sets for Farragut, Starship Farragut. And many of those guys from Continues came from the construction of Farragut. And they all rallied behind me when I came up and said, hey, listen, guys, I now own it, the sets, and here's my plan. It's going to take some time, but here's my plan. And those guys have been there by my side every time I went up. I can only make it, you know, once a month. It's kind of tough for me. But if something needs to be done, they're at the studio, whatever it is. And it's just wonderful to be able to have that kind of crew, not only to work it, but who knew every inch of it and knew what to do and would come up with suggestions on how to change things or move things around. It was great. I didn't really have to go in there and sort of, you know, reinvent the wheel.
The studios were originally known as Starfleet Studios, but to avoid confusion or to go in a new direction, you renamed them Stage 9 Studios.
The studio was actually Trek Continues, Inc. when it was under Star Trek Continues. And we needed to come up with a new name. Can't keep calling it Trek Continues, and, you know, tried to keep the name Star Trek out of it for, I guess, hopefully some obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And Stage 9 was originally the studio that Star Trek filmed in back in the 1960s at Paramount. And behind the scenes of Trek Continues, he would call it Stage 9 Studios. So it just seemed like a natural fit that we would pick that up and just run with it. And that's what we did.
No, it's an excellent name. And everybody does know that the soundstage that original Trek was filmed on was Stage 9. So it's a really cool name. You know, it doesn't fly in the face of anybody who's going to look at you and think, hang on, you're getting close to our trademarks. And yet it says everything about Star Trek. So, which is really cool.
Well, let's hope as time goes on, everybody else believes that. thank you. Yep.
Okay. Ray, is there a website that people can find information on?
Yeah, and it is stage9studios.com. We're going to get a little bit of an addition to that, information about if you're interested in making fan films, how do you do it, and how do you go about it. We're planning an open house event in October. And that again would be, you know, free to attend. I picked up a lot of lessons from Starbase Studios, and they did something called Promenadicon, and they just allowed people to come in and walk around and take selfies and all that good stuff. So we want to keep doing that. We just want people to be able to come in and see it. So there's Stage 9 Studios. There's a Facebook page. There's an Instagram page. There's a Twitter account. So we're trying our best to get the word out.
So this kind of brings me back full circle, back to Starship Republic. With the excitement over Stage 9 Studios now building up and people taking an interest, this is a good time to remind everyone that they can still donate to your Indiegogo fund because it's still live.
Well, actually, no. The Indiegogo fund ended a year ago. When that crowdfunding campaign ended, so did the campaign because the rules, at least on Indiegogo, are if you don't reach your goal, it's closed.
This gives you a great opportunity to restart the fundraising for Starship Republic and get that project hopefully complete. Am I right in thinking that?
You are correct in thinking that. So what I needed to do because of some changes in my life, honestly, as well as taking over the studio, I sort of had to pass the torch on Starship Republic, even though I'm very much involved in it. But, you know, now I don't know what I am now, but I guess I'm an advisor. But Jim Von Doltron, who played the captain, and Samuel Cockings, who people may know from Trek Yards, and he did the visual effects for Republic, have really rewritten that into what I think is a very, very same story plot, same storyline, but a very dynamic series of events that brings it full circle. So they have finished the writing on that. We're just trying to sort of just finalize it all, I guess. And those guys are all very busy. Remember, we all have day jobs as well, so it's kind of an interesting thing. So at some point we plan on shooting several scenes just like we did for the original version of Republic, and putting those out on an Indiegogo or some sort of a crowdfunding campaign, in the hopes of trying to get some donations, including some new sets that need to be built and things like that. But fortunately, we're in a position where much of it is ready to go, if you will, behind the scenes, and not too much needs to be done to really get this into effect, including a green screen studio or a green screen spot at the studio as well. So we hope to be, as Commander Data might say, fully functional in a short period of time.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Ray, I have to say it's incredible catching up with you, and it's incredible to find out what's happening with Stage 9. I'm saddened that I'm not in the US so I can go and see what you're doing, but at some point in my future, I'm sure I will be near you in Florida, and we'll take a drive maybe together for 4 hours to Georgia and go and see the studios and see what's going on.
Well, Tony, you're in an elite group as far as I'm concerned. So somehow or another, I'll get you here.
Okay, but just I always fly first class, and if the limo doesn't turn up in time, then let's forget it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? The limo. Yeah, don't worry about the limo. we'll get you here one way or the other.
Okay. Ray, where can people find you if they wish to contact you? Again, obvious question, but let's remind people.
Again, right off the website, all the contact info is there, email, phone number, but it's ray@stage9studios.com. And I promise everybody that I just answer all of my emails. So just hit me up, and I'll be happy to answer any of your questions.
Great. Can I just say thank you for coming again on Continuing Mission? And again, we will be following your story and coming back to you at some point in the future to see what's going on. So thank you, Ray, for coming today.
Thank you, Tony. It's been fun. As I recall, now that we talk about it, I think I relaunched Continuing Mission with my first appearance. I think you had been out of pocket for a while. So have I come full circle? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, we're complimenting each other. We're, you know, Continuing Mission was off the air for a year, and then I took over the center seat, as it were, and here we are. And then you, disappeared off for a while, and then came back with a huge, amazing story, and here we are again. So,
So we're two of a kind, I guess.
We are two of a kind. Okay, I'm going to say goodbye to you and to our listeners who'll tune in again for the next episode of Continuing Mission. And thank you again, Ray.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate
it. Okay. Well, it's been fun talking with Ray Tessie today about Stage 9 Studios. If you're a budding filmmaker and a Star Trek fan, and both, you need to get in touch with Ray and book a place in this very fine and excellent reproduction of the TOS soundstage and studio. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, to the journey!
Do you have to have the stick
To be the grand proxy?
The scepter?
Yeah. I see it as a walking stick.
Is that supposed to be the Grand Negus's scepter? Like, is that the actual one?
Oh my gosh.
Replica, of course, but is it supposed to be the actual one?
I don't know, but what it reminds me of totally is old Biff from Back to the Future, old Biff, yes. With his cane that he hits people on the head with. That is totally it.
Hello! McFly!
Think.
Standard orbit.
People are coming over and they're introducing people to him, and it's my turn. And he goes, Steve, Jimmy, I want you to meet the host of the convention. This is Stephen Lance. And I go, pleased to meet you, sir. Nice to meet you, Mr. Dewan. And he goes, hi, Steve. Nice to meet you. And he's like, what? What? You mean you don't talk like that?
The 602 Club.
In particular, I noticed that the most with either Elastigirl or Violet, because it's sort of like you and I were talking about before the show, Helen, Elastigirl, really shows that she's Elastigirl not only in what she does as a superhero, but in showing the things that a regular mom has to deal with, you know, whether you're a single mom or, you know, a big family. It's something that traditionally they're trying to show that a parent goes through.
Warp 5.
Right, because Frankenstein himself, like, it doesn't really mistreat the monster, right? They've got him locked up, chained up and whatnot, right? Because they don't know what to do with him, I guess. Like, now that I've made this corpse, well, now what, right? Like yeah. You know, it's not like a puppy.
Never right? thinking like, about the end game. Just like all those, you know, master villains. It's like, yeah, you rule the world and then what?
Right.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us email, you can use the form on our website at trekfm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Continuing Mission. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. Before we go, I'd like to thank our founder and publisher, C. Brian Jones, and our executive producer, Ken Tripp. All of these guys do a terrific job, and without them, there'd be no Trek FM. I'm Tony Robinson, the host of the show, and I want to thank you for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Shamrock165, and of course, I do communicate on the Babel Conference as well. Now, if you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm, and get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. Tune in real soon for another edition of Continuing Mission. In the meantime, live long and prosper.